This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our next guests are the President of Joy, the Joy Board, Melinda Rich, and the Deputy President of the Joy Board, who's Tanya Matheson. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Morning.
You'll have to speak much closer.
Yes, you'll have to get...
We're not pros like you guys, so just bear with us.
Well, actually, what I've heard about you, Melinda, is that you're a bit of a virgin.
Yeah. Well, we were joking about that during the week, weren't we? I have literally never been air before.
Never.
I can't think
what
of
about you,
place.
Tanya?
I have. Once or twice.
Well, welcome aboard. It's so great to help break your virginity.
Someone was going to make that joke, weren't they?
Yeah.
I know, it's a bit crass, really, isn't it?
No. Just go there. It's okay.
Hey, what's it like being the chair of the board?
Oh, look, it's a lot of work, but, you know, a huge privilege. We've got, I think, an absolutely amazing group, a lot of diversity, men, women, different professional experiences, you know, and everyone's making a great contribution. So, you know, dare I make the obvious joke, it's a joy.
Yeah, and why joy? I mean, you know, there are lots of other community causes and, you know, in this community, in other communities. Why joy? What's special?
Oh, look, I mean, I think it's, for me, it's a voice for our community. I came to Joy in about 2010, had been a listener, and got to that point in my life where I realised that, you know, it was time to make a contribution and give something back. So,
you know. So you were on the Finance and Audit Committee back then,
weren't you?
That's
how
where
I
first met you.
That's right, yeah, because you had a stint as GM, as I
certainly
recall.
Did, yes.
Yeah, so we would have had some talks about finances back in the day.
Did.
We still talk about that a lot, obviously. Mm.
You're cracking the whip. Go and earn some more money.
I do like doing that. It's a perennial challenge for us. So I came in on Finance and Audit and joined the board about 2013 and sort of been there ever since. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't really sort of come in with a plan to end up as president, but it's happened and, you know, enjoying it thoroughly.
Excellent. Now, what about yourself, Tanya? How long have you been associated with Joy?
Well, I moved to Melbourne from the UK in 2007.
Oh, that explains your accent.
Mm. It does indeed. I'm not putting it on. And I actually couldn't believe it, moving to Melbourne and discovering that there was this gay radio station. Mm. It blew my mind because there's nothing like it in London.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
They're a loss.
So I thought, well, you know, I'll definitely sign up to become a member. So I've always been and sort of active and eager supporter. And look, similar to Mel, I think I reached a point where I was, you know, really ready and wanting to give back to the community. And Joy seemed the obvious choice. It's such a linchpin of the community in so many different ways. Mm. It, you know, it really seemed like, you know, an ideal opportunity for me to focus on this organisation, which has such a broad reach.
So. Mm, and one of the other elements of Joy that, you know, we need to highlight again, is also the really supportive nature that the station actually has for people who might be isolated, for people who are really struggling with family, with friends, with issues of their own sexuality, and the safe, supportive environment is just amazingly helpful for those people.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, well said.
So, there's a whole lot of things that I'd like to talk about, but obviously very high on the agenda is this idea of Joy forming part of the Pride Centre. So this morning we've already had a conversation with Bernadine Voss from the City of Port Phillip, who's the mayor, who really talked about why they've contributed $13 million towards this project. We've also had people like Jude Munro on the show, and she's going to become a bit of a regular of ours as we sort of try to really keep our community and our listeners informed about what's going on. So I thought it'd be interesting to ask you to talk a bit about, you know, Joy's relationship with the Pride Centre and how you see that unfolding and what might be some of the issues going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I brought Tanya with me. She's been quite integral to this and wanted to give her some kudos for that, and she probably can answer some questions that of detail that maybe I can't. So, you know, the Pride Centre journey started, what, April last year, and we've been sort of front and centre with those discussions, you know, watching the board get formed, contributing to all the work around, you know, what is it that would make a site workable for the broader community, but also for Joy. And we have some particular needs because we're a radio station, we have to transmit and all that type of stuff.
So it's like the antenna, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's probably, you know, one simple word that describes a whole bunch of quite complex stuff. Yeah, so we've just really tried to be front and centre in the discussions, and you know, and I think I sent a message out to the members, and I just can't really imagine a Pride Centre without Joy being there.
I
agree. Such a voice for the community, and it's going to be a fantastic.
It brings it to life, doesn't it?
You know? Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, you've got the kind of place to go, but you know, bringing it to life and spreading it to the far corners of not just you know, this state, but right around the world. I mean, you can get on your app now and listen anywhere.
Absolutely. And the other thing I should say is, you know, there's a really practical, pragmatic reason for us to get involved, and that's about us having a permanent home. We've had great support from the City of Melbourne here on Bourke Street in the City Village, but we're essentially sort of on a roll.
You didn't see the old studio.
No, I didn't. And that's a good point, right? We've already moved once, you know, so this will be another change and another iteration. You know, it's a fair way off in the future still, probably 2 to 3 years away, and there's a bit of work to now get through, but very exciting.
So that is actually very exciting, and I recall the move from South Melbourne to here because, in fact, we managed to negotiate a small grant from the state government to make that happen. And I think, Bronwyn, you had a bit to do with that too, didn't you? In fact, you had a lot to do with it, if I recall correctly. So that was
First of all, we got the panel. I mean, we didn't actually have a proper panel for, you know, organising the actual radio programs and everything when we were back in South Melbourne. So we got the money for that and then, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you're just demonstrating your technical finesse there, Bronwyn, by talking about
any technical questions we're throwing to Bronwyn.
The thing with the buttons on it that light up red and green.
So what I think is really amazing is that we're going from being a tenant to, in 2 or 3 years' time, we will be a partial owner of real estate, a permanent home going forward. That is a big shift.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the theory. And there's, you know, Tanya might want to jump in here. There's, you know, there's obviously a bit of work to do to figure that all out
and how
that works. And I had a chat with Jude this week. She called me to check in, and we're now sort of starting the discussion process about how this is going to unfold. But I mean, it's a huge transformation in terms of not just where we operate, but how we operate.
So, Tanya, what does this mean, being a property owner as opposed to being a tenant?
Oh, look, I think it could mean lots of things. It can mean, you know, primarily what we want it to mean. So I guess from my perspective, the work to a large extent starts here. So there's still a lot more design and creative work to be done, not just on the physical structure of a building, but also the operational structure of how this thing will work, and how the various and different organisations will live together, and how that sort of
makes our balance sheet look better.
Well, that's exactly right. Does it mean that we can then go out and get loans?
Who knows? I think it's probably too early to
think about the legal structure.
No, look, we haven't even thought about that. I think some of the exciting stuff is around, you know, you've got all these community organisations out there essentially operating on their own and trying to I guess, for lack of a better word, set up their back offices to support their operations. You know, if we all go into the Pride Centre, we got the opportunity to have one one place, one sort of set of back office services.
Yeah, a lot of productivity of, in that.
Collaboration, you know, lower the cost base for everyone. So I think there's a lot of efficiencies and opportunities.
So you could do
that.
Things like share meeting rooms and share office space.
Well, meeting
space
rooms, you know, even stuff like basic IT type stuff, you know. I my professional life,
security, all that sort of thing.
I work in corporate services, so back office in my professional life. So this sort of stuff is kind of top of mind. For me, I support a big business with the services that I look after at work, and I think there's huge opportunities there.
Yeah, and those were certainly some of the objectives when we started this process. So, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have been involved from the get-go with this project, which started about a year and a half ago. And I work for PwC, and we work with Rowena Allen right at the outset to do the feasibility study, which was that first question.
Yes.
Here's this great idea. Here's this amazing opportunity. And when Ro was talking to community members, this is what they were sort of suggesting and asking for. And, you know, our job right back then was to try and answer the question, is this feasible? Mm-hmm. What would it take? Are we, you know, dreaming? And, you know, out of that initial piece of work, it became really clear that not only was it feasible, but actually this thing could be much much more ambitious, much more aspirational than we ever imagined at the outset. So we started to think about how this could be not just a sort of a building of co-location, but a hub of activity, an opportunity for collaboration, a place where organizations that don't yet exist today or individuals can come and work on a more sort of ad hoc way, so hot desking, shared services models, so that we're not all kind of constrained by things that often are really hard to do, like managing IT, managing your finances, all of these.
If we can find a way to things like photocopiers and printers and stuff like that,
absolutely,
that are incredibly expensive to, you know, lease for one organisation, you know, with multiple users and everything, those, you know, the opportunities, printing and publications and shit, you know, big contracts, great opportunities. Mm. Fantastic.
So what are some of the challenges for Joy going forward?
Well, I guess we've now got to work through, you know, the feasibility and detail of the site around all of the technical issues. You know, and it is a change of location, you know, which I think is going to be interesting for some people. I sent out a note to the members, and I'd say 95% of them were overwhelmingly positive. But it is a change of location, so we'll have to sort of canvass those issues. Still a very convenient location to get to. I know it's an easy thing to say. Yeah, look, there's plenty of questions that we need to work through now.
I think the question of the location is something that we've already talked about, and you're never going to make everybody happy. There are some people
That's
who
true.
Don't like Joy being located here in the CBD, but others do. Joy used to be in South Melbourne, and you know, everybody thought it was going to be, the world's going to fall in if it moves into the CBD, but in fact it hasn't. And I think that we will make a transition back, you know, into St Kilda, onto the south side of town. And once people are a bit relax with that, it'll be okay, I think.
Yeah, I think this is just a normal reaction to change, I guess.
So, Mel, what? Tell us about the rest of your life. What else do you do?
Well, I guess my professional job is actually in another membership organisation, as it turns out. So it's all members all the time for me. I actually work for RACV, which is probably, I guess, you know, one of the biggest membership organisations in Victoria, if not the biggest.
It's an amazing success story, isn't it?
I mean, I heard
something, a profile on it recently about how you can draw together a community of common interest and how they've really used that as a platform.
Yeah, and
how many members?
Oh, it's over 2 million.
Two million members?
Yes, it's one of the biggest membership organisations in the country.
Yeah, and a very diverse organisation, you know, huge, you know, offering across a number of spaces. I've only been there about 7 or 8 months, so frankly I'm still early on the journey of getting my head around just how large and complex it is, but you know, as I said, you know, really interesting synergy, you know, and synthesis between my job there and my job here, because there's a lot of similar dynamics because they're membership organisations.
Yeah, and how you keep it fresh. So how do you keep the offering fresh to membership organisations?
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are dying, aren't they? I mean, a lot of membership organisations in our community, I mean, there's been books written about the demise of the member-based organisation.
Yeah, and I think it gets back to that question of, and this is a question for Joy too, what does membership mean to people? Mm. You know, and how do you make it a meaningful experience? Joy's been around 23 years. I hope I've got that date right. You know, and we've got, you know, a cohort of members who've always been with us, very, you know, very passionate, very committed. But how do we connect with, you know, for example, the younger generation who just have a different sort of view of life, and, you know, membership means a different thing to them. And, you know, we're forever sort of trying to come to grips with what that means and, you know, how we set ourselves up accordingly.
So it was really lovely. Earlier on we did a live read promoting our volunteers, and we actually showcased young Tom. So Tom's he does panelling.
Yep.
He's been a panellist here in this very show the last couple of weeks. Today he couldn't be here because he's helping Mum and Dad move home.
Oh, he's a good son. Well done.
He's an absolute sweetie. I mean, he's 16.
Mm. Oh, that's beautiful.
He hooked into this program through school. So Joy's running a program of trying to engage with young people, engage them in, you know, broadcasting, programming, radio, and all that sort of stuff. And he decided, yep, I'll give that a go. I don't know much about Tom's personal life, but he's such a sweet kid who has found this is a new thing to explore and develop, and he's made new friends out of it. Macra and I have met his mum.
That's fantastic.
She's younger than us.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Not hard.
A great example of, you know, we can all, I guess, as people who are a little bit further along in our life, make assumptions about young people and, you know, perhaps that they're not as connected to the community. But, you know, what a great example of someone who is fantastically connected into a sense of community. So it's there. We've just got to find ways to connect with it, I guess.
I did hear a funny story. Somebody was profiling him on air not too long ago, and then they started to ask questions about his personal life and then his sex life, and he just said, oh, look, Mum's listening, I'd rather not talk about that stuff.
Yeah, of course.
That's a good rule, right? Don't put it up on social media or talk about it if your mum wouldn't be happy.
There you go. That's a great rule. Spoken truly by our president.
It's a good life rule, everyone. Listen carefully.
So tell us a bit about the Joy Board, because it's you know, often not something that our listeners have access to or talk about. So tell us about the Joy Board. What sort of people are on it, and
so
how does it work?
There's nine of us, you know, and we're a board of governance, I guess. And that means that we steward the organisation along, but we don't sort of, or we try not to get too involved in the day-to-day operations. We've got a CEO and a bunch of great staff and volunteers that do that. So we've got, you know, as I said before, a really fantastically diverse group. We've got myself, you know, commercial background, Tanya, consulting background, Andrew from Beyond Blue, Ian, who's got a sales and marketing background.
I know Ian.
And, yes, you know Ian. and many
so
others.
Do I.
you know, so look, it's just a fantastic group. And I think what I've seen over the last few years with the board is, for lack of a better word, an increasingly sort of increasing level of professionalisation.
Yeah, maturing of the board. Yeah.
It's a really, really important role. It's not something that you can just sort of turn up once a month and have a chat.
Well,
for a
I mean,
of
there's
hours.
A legal environment that the
Absolutely,
board operates.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually in charge of this organisation, not
financial.
On a, as you say, not on an operational level, but you know, under the rules of ASIC and it's a company, and although probably with the ACNC and. You know, so, yeah, it's a very responsible job.
Absolutely. And, you know, the obligations that we have as directors are exactly the same, even though we're a not-for-profit or a community organisation, as they would be in the
Absolutely.
Corporate world. So
Absolutely.
That's a really important thing to bear in mind. So it's at times a fun job, but it's also a very, very serious job that you have to be committed to. absolutely.
And what are the challenges?
Oh, challenges. Look, I think finances is always a perennial challenge.
So we're on air, but we don't run
on air. You've done the Macca line. Someone was going to shut that one out. You beat me to it. It's a great line, though, isn't it? And look, we're that's really top of mind for us at the moment. We're actually, I guess we're trying to make a bit of a transition in terms of where we get our revenue from. So we've sort of had this revenue base around on-air sponsorship and membership and some donations and a bit of fundraising. We're actually really trying to have a push into some corporate sponsorships. We're just starting that journey, and it's tough. I think the biggest part of it for us as an organisation is that we undersell ourselves. We don't know just how valuable we are, and we're probably a little bit backwards in coming forwards in terms of understanding what our value is.
And huge listening audience, and as Tanya said, you know, one of a kind.
Absolutely.
And not only that, our listeners are also a part of those corporate environments as well.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to be really honest about this, there's been occasions when we've ran some issues with some of the corporates. Let me give you an example. Telstra, who decided not to back marriage equality.
Mm-hmm. For a while. Until we got busy.
Until their own staff turned on them. And a lot of their staff were actually listeners and members of this station who were intimately engaged in the issue. And we're engaging with us, like, you know, as presenters, as program makers, giving us data and information that we found very useful to continue with our advocacy. So the point that I'm really making is that we are part of all those corporate environments. We've got to make those work for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's the pragmatic reason a corporate might want to sponsor us, you know, because it's about their sales and marketing effort out to their customers. But a lot of them are having these burgeoning diversity programs for their staff. And, you know, if you're going to talk about having that program for your staff, then supporting Joy is a great way of putting your money where your mouth is. About how committed you really are.
Yeah, the CEO of SBS, Micah Bede, said to us, when we were in Sydney a couple of weekends ago celebrating Mardi Gras, he said to us very clearly that a lot of corporates are now engaged with this issue and engaged in supporting marriage equality publicly because this is about their workforce. So a happy workforce means a happy customer base.
Absolutely.
A happy customer base means the revenue is coming in.
Absolutely. You know, your staff are your greatest brand advocates, I think. They can go out and talk about the company. I've just talked about RACV.
Yes,
so
there you go.
I'm an example.
Yeah. So you're obviously a happy employee.
Yeah, very, very. It's a great company.
So at a personal level, what's happening there?
What's happening there? Personally, well, that's a leading question, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, who a little bit...
Am I being a bit too intrusive?
No, that's fine. I'm a really busy person. I have a very busy job. Super committed to Joy. I'm doing some study as well.
Oh, right. What are you doing there?
I'm doing a Bachelor of Arts majoring in politics.
Great.
Yeah, so I did all the you know, the professional stuff, engineering degree and an MBA, and got to that stage of life where I thought, oh, I better just do something for fun.
Yeah,
and
just
for
getting a bit more of a hex bill.
Work. That's right. Exactly.
And work on the left side of your brain.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And
that's great.
Cycling is my other passion. So
great.
In the few spare hours I have left, that's what I do.
Great. Mel, it's been really good to have you in the studio.
Lovely to meet you, Mel.
Fantastic.
I hope that we can do this again.
Absolutely. Well, we've broken my virginity now, as you said before, so we're good to go.
We certainly have.
You are very
we won't. Yeah, okay. So that'd be great to have you back in the studio again.
Love to be here.
Anytime. And if there's any messages that you'd like to communicate to our listeners, please feel free to use Saturday Magazine as a platform to do those.
Fantastic. Would love to.
Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.